digital agency owners, web designers, content enthusiasts, fellow copywriters, and my mum. You are very welcome to this episode of the Content Goodies podcast, sponsored by The Content Lab, with me, your host, Abby Wood. Let's talk content. Well, today, lovely listeners, we are in for a real treat. We are going all in on the website copywriting process and how to run a copywriting project so it's delivered on time and in budget whilst avoiding delays and upsets and keeping clients happy. And who better to talk about running a successful website copywriting process than our own wonderful project manager, the talented Riley Barry. Riley, welcome.
Hello.
Lovely to have you on board today. So let us get into how to run a copywriting project as part of the larger ecosphere of running a website project in general. So Riley, darling, what's the biggest misconception about website copywriting out there?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions that some people have is that copywriting is just words and that, you know, it's so easy that anybody could do it and they could just do that themselves, where there's actually a lot that goes into copywriting, including keyword research, research into competitors. There's a lot of years of experience and talent that a lot of us and a lot of our writers have that goes into writing fantastic copy. So it's not just words. It's a lot of other things that has built up over years of experience to make it wonderful and beautiful.
Absolutely. I hear that. for those who aren't familiar with copywriting and the research that goes into it and the beautiful Google algorithms that rule our lives, if they aren't familiar with that kind of stuff, people sometimes think it's just words. How difficult can it be? And then they try to do it themselves, especially for agency owners waiting on clients for like 6 months waiting on website copy, the client realizes that they can't then write it, and then you have to hire someone to do it for them. So it is tricky, I think, especially when you're selling copy, to actually get that nuance in of, yeah, it's a blend of an art and a science of, you know, SEO stuff, but actual talent writing as well. I think as well, one of the biggest misconceptions I've seen from a lot of agency owners and web designers is the copywriting process is complicated or it needs to be hugely custom for each project. I definitely don't agree with that. I think that once you have a good copy process, copy and paste it. Like if it's working, keep running with it, you know? So I tend to categorize copy projects into two types, which, lovely listeners, you're probably expecting me to say something super professional, very polished here, but I literally classify them as the quick and easy jobs and the big boys. So that's it, super professional, but you get the gist of what those two projects are. Like the quick and easy, you know, kind of you're usually running through the process that we're about to run through with Riley today, and then the big boys usually have a little bit more steps in them. Riley, great English.
A little bit more steps. So many steps. So much steps. Such wow.
We're batching the content up into different sections. That is basically it. But yeah, so I tend to have two different processes for dealing with each of those. But what about you, Roddy? What do you think?
Yeah, there's definitely a big difference. Well, not a big difference, but there's a difference in processes when it comes to dealing with the big boys and then the small little projects like the one pagers or the smaller websites, because you're going to have a completely different process if you have like a 40-page website. There's only so much a basic process can take care of when you're dealing with that many pages and subpages, and it can take a lot longer and a lot more managing, where the small, quick and easy ones are quite simple to get over if you just follow the process.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's the most important thing, is to have a solid foundation of a base process set up, so that, you know, kind of you can use that and tailor it for, say, if you're working with a solopreneur or a small business owner, you're working one-on-one, there's less meetings. Whereas if you're working with a board of directors or something like that, obviously it's going to look a little bit different. And, you know, kind of there is a little bit more management need in the back end, which our wonderful Riley is more than used to.
Yeah.
And there's a few more submission dates needed and that kind of thing. So yeah, I think it's good to keep in mind whatever process works for you, because everyone is different. And obviously we're going to share kind of our own process here as well, but whatever works for you, and then just tweak it for individual clients. So, you know, exactly what works for them as well. So before writing even starts, I think a lot of people think that the website copywriting process starts with like the homepage, but there are key elements of a solid website copywriting process that you need to have in place before writing starts. What do you feel are the key steps to getting a good website copywriting project off the ground?
I think most projects should start with a call with the end client, but also a really good brief that has all the information in it that the writer will need to understand the client, understand their services, their client's pain points, and the tone of voice and what they're looking for. Basically everything that they need to actually go ahead and write a website. Going back to having a solid interview with the end client. So having that interview or getting to talk to the end client means that you get to hear them talk about their services, their company in their own voice, which makes it much easier to write the website in a voice that they're going to be happy with, especially for smaller businesses where their voice is going to be a lot more personable to compared to the really huge companies that have a separate personal brand to their company branding. And I think having this connect with the client makes it a lot easier for the writer to write the copy.
Absolutely, yeah. I think as a copywriter myself, I think it's so important to have all of the information possible before you go into that interview. So whenever we work with agencies or clients in general, I always recommend to send over a good solid brief, which covers, you know, information about the client, any discovery notes that our agencies already have, any keyword research that they've already done, all of that good stuff, any goals that they've already discussed, so that when we're going into the interview space, we can just focus on what the client is actually saying. And, you know, it's so that we can basically impersonate another person, another company online, you know, so we really need to get, you know, kind of get the answers that we need during that call. So whether our lovely listeners are writing it for themselves or they're handing it off to a copywriter, I always suggest giving the kickoff call a good 30 minutes to an hour. Now, most of my team can do it in half an hour. This is our bread and butter over here. And we have our set questions that we ask and we tweak them for each client and stuff. But if you're unfamiliar with it, or you have a client who loves talking, you know, kind of you want to limit it to around an hour. But yeah, that would be kind of the first couple of stages. So yeah, the main motivation with a good client interview is listening for the type of language that the client uses. As Riley already mentioned, for a lot of smaller businesses or solopreneurs, the brand voice for the company tends to be the same as the owner's voice, which kind of makes it a little bit easier in a way, because, you know, you have that one person in mind that you're trying to emulate. However, generally speaking, the larger client, the further away the brand voice gets from the original owner of the business. It's not always true, but it tends to be a little bit more polished. It tends to be a little bit more professional, which is where a good brief definitely comes in. So say you have the interview done, you've handed over, you know, kind of your discovery notes, if possible. From a project manager's point of view, Riley, and a content writer's point of view, of course, what are the key elements to a good website copywriting brief?
So I love briefs. They're great. What I love even more is when we're provided with briefs, because it makes our lives and my life a lot easier. But when it comes to what's in a brief, I think it's important to have all the information that you have about the end client. Like, this could be brand discovery docs, it could be an initial discovery meeting, or sometimes our clients will have content meetings with their client. That getting access to those, if we're not having a call, is great. A link to any of their socials or a previous website or current website if they have it. And then there should be hopefully information about the tone of voice and how the client wants to be perceived or heard online. So some clients will send us over like a tone of voice doc or a brand voice doc, which is great, especially if we haven't had the opportunity to have a call with them. And then also the sitemap. It's very, very, very handy for a website project to have a sitemap in the brief that is signed off on and 100% the pages we are using going forward. Yep.
I don't think Riley can understate just how important a signed off completed sitemap is.
Please.
You know, you need those
scope
deliverables. You need to know what you're writing, basically, and you need to know the full pages. And that, you know, kind of that comes into deliverables, but it also comes into expectations around due dates. So, you know, be really, really clear on due dates and be honest about due dates as well, both with your writer or with the client. Like, if you have a 200-page website, you're very unlikely to get that delivered in 5 working days.
Yeah.
So just... If you have a 200-page website, we've done a few of them over the years, you know, just be upfront. Be like, hey, I have a whopper of a website. How can we get this done? I would say honesty around the sitemap. Get it signed off on by the end client. And, of course, that helps the designer and developer as well. You know exactly what you're delivering. So all round, very important aspect of a good brief. Yes. It sounds simple, doesn't it, Riley?
But it's super simple. But it's often left out. And, yeah, it would be lovely if you could include the sitemap clearly outlined.
Yeah. And another really important thing to include is brand messaging guidelines. So a lot of the agencies we work with are branders themselves. Of course, we do brand workshops and brand messaging guidelines and all the joyful stuff in-house. But if you already have them, or you've worked with a previous writer before and you're starting with someone new, send them over to your copywriter before they get started, even if it's an outdated one. If it's out of date, tell them why it's outdated. So you're giving them effectively examples of what the client doesn't like anymore and what the client has grown into since, you know, the document was created. So a really important part of a good solid brief is also a list of competitors and how they differentiate themselves from competitors, if they know. If they don't know, then your writer should be able to go to testimonials, Google reviews, that kind of stuff, to really dig out the unique selling props of the company. But yeah, I would say competitors. And if you already have keyword research done, if your writer isn't doing it for you, then always include that before they even get started. So after they've received this beautiful brief, the person writing will go ahead and audit the current content that is online about the company. Then they're going to jump in and do the client-facing interview. So they're going to come prepped to that meeting. So they already have all the information you already have. So if you do like discovery, if you have an in-depth interview about their services or anything like that, then they'll already go to that meeting. There's going to be no repetition. The client isn't going to get irritated because they're answering the same things over and over again. And it just makes for a much smoother process. And the writer can focus on messaging, voice, tone, all that good stuff. And then after that is done, it's time for research. And bringing us into research, what's the role of SEO and website copy, Riley?
SEO means that people will be able to see your website. In really basic terms, that's what it is. You need SEO to make to like push your website to the higher up the search results so that your lovely potential customers or clients will see your website when they're searching for your services and they'll click on it. I am not our resident SEO expert, but we do have a resident SEO expert, which is the lovely Kira, who does go into this topic a lot more in another one of our episodes. So if you want some really detailed SEO juice, Kira is the woman to talk to. She is.
Exactly. We do have a lovely episode around who to write for. Should we be writing for search engines or the people that we are speaking to directly on the site? So SEO, spoiler alert for Kira's episode, super important. We definitely do need those keywords, and we need to have competitive keywords, but also keywords that are achievable to rank for. So there is a lot that goes into the research of this kind of stuff. But yeah, we will link to Kira's episode after this. No, below in the notes, check it out. So yeah, in the strategy and planning, SEO does play a huge part in it. So there's a lot of, and for those of you that are brand new to this topic, SEO stands for search engine optimization. Should have said that first.
That's an important tidbit that we probably should have led with.
Yeah, it's very important.
But they know now. We covered it.
Exactly. It's all good. It is essential during the strategy and the planning of the new website that SEO is researched thoroughly. I highly recommend SE Ranking and Surfer SEO for your keyword research and your competitor analysis.
We love those tools.
Yes, they are wonderful. And they're both very affordable. Very affordable. So that's strategy and planning. And once we've done strategy and planning, what comes next, Riley?
Writing and then revisions. But writing first. Can't do the revisions before the writing. That would be silly.
And what are we writing first?
So at the Content Lab, not sure how other wonderful agencies out there work, but at the Content Lab, we always start with the homepage. Sorry.
We always write the homepage first to avoid excessive editing during the rest of the sitemap. So you'll find that if you separate out the homepage, the client will solely focus in on the voice and tone on the homepage. So they're not going to get distracted by, oh, this is an old service, or, you know, I'd love to add this one in, or whatever edits they're going to come in with later. It's just about, does this sound like them or not? And it's a good kind of introduction. So rather than sending them, you know, 30 pages of text to review, they've got one page. You can, you know, jump on Zoom if you really want to go through with them and walk them through it. But yeah, homepage first. And then once we have sign off on that, the designers can get started on the homepage design. That is if you are content first. Which, heads up, I'm completely biased, but copy first is the best way to do websites, 110%. It just makes so much more sense in terms of layout, in terms of user journey, all of that good stuff. So now that our wonderful designer is working on the homepage, Riley, what happens next?
So after the homepage is completely signed off on and we're 100% sure that the client is happy with the text that's on the homepage, we know, or the writer knows, our editor knows, I know that the client is happy with the tone of voice, which means when we're writing the other pages, which can be from 2 pages to 22 pages, that we can keep that tone of voice throughout the rest of the sitemap. So we'll go ahead and we'll write the rest of the sitemap before sending it back over to the client to review again. When the homepage is done first, it cuts down the amount of edits that we will get on the rest of the pages because we're avoiding those tone of voice edits or those phrase edits that the client doesn't like. We can make sure that those aren't in the rest of the sitemap, where if we did all 22 pages all at once and the tone was completely wrong, it's going to take more than an hour to edit that.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the common misconceptions I think about website copywriting is that kind of doing the homepage first is going to hold it up. It really doesn't. It is it is the best way of ensuring that the client is happy. You know, they've got to wait like a few days for their homepage to be ready for review. You can get the editing done max of a couple of days. And then, you know, they're happy. They can see progress. Once the homepage has been designed out, they'll be absolutely delighted because now they've got it, you know, kind of designed out. They can see that. And the rest of the sitemap is hopefully minimal edits from there on. So it's a lot smoother and it keeps the client journey a lot more pleasant for them. So they're not having to just wait and wait for pages and pages of text. And in terms of keeping things running smoothly and providing useful feedback, to prevent slowing down the process, what are your big tips for people to leave feedback on website copy, Riley?
Leave comments or suggestions in the Google Doc, and where you want those edits to like take place in the doc. Sometimes clients will leave a load of edits just like at the top of the doc, and it could be a 30-page doc, and then you have to spend time trying to find the area in which this comment correlates with. We've also had people print out website copy and write on the printout and then scan it back in and then email it over to us to implement, which is a headache.
It's a lot of effort, I think, for them and for us. And
yeah,
just to kind of share a bit of background there, we do show our clients how to leave feedback in Google Docs.
It's a video.
Because they decided it would be better to, they wanted to write it out by hand.
And their handwriting was not easy to read either.
Yeah. and just to go back to the whole Google Doc thing, we work in Google Docs. I've heard plenty of agencies have great success with Content Snare, especially if you are doing content yourself. It's an easy enough user face. Years and years and years ago, I used to use Gather Content, but for me, I just really prefer Google Doc for writing, for, you know, implementing edits, to be able to see, you know, tracking changes, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say, I would say that be specific with feedback, so nothing that is really generic, like, I don't like this, you know? Why don't you like it? Is it the wrong opinion? Is it the wrong words that are being used? Is it just something that you'd never say? Share with your writer an example of how you would say it better, or, you know, kind of if you don't like it, you just want it removed, you know, ask them to remove it. Just be very, very specific with feedback. Those would be my top tips anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
And what are the common issues in the website copy process and how can we avoid them?
I'm bringing it back. It's coming back full circle here. Please send over the correct sitemap, please. It's the one of the biggest things that slow down projects or make things like cause issues is being given an incorrect sitemap, being told that this is the sitemap that we're writing. And then we get halfway through the pages or we finish the pages and we send them over. And then it's like, oh, we're missing 4 pages. Well, that wasn't on the sitemap you've given. So not only does it affect one quoting that from the start, so we'll have to quote for 4 extra pages, but then we also have to send it back over to the writer. The writer has to include those 4 pages. Also, if these were pages that should have been included on the homepage, like should there have been a link to these pages on the homepage? Is it meant to have a section on the homepage? Should it have been mentioned on the homepage? These are all things that affect the project. Also, I think the second one that always comes to mind for pitfall in projects would be missing the tone of voice, like getting the tone of voice wrong. And this usually this happens if we, and I mean by like the writer doesn't get to interview the client, like we don't get to interview them ourselves. We've just been sent information like about the tone of voice. Like sometimes it's very vague or it's not really about the tone of voice and the messaging and more just generic information about the client.
Yeah, yeah. I think this, a lot of the most common pitfalls I've seen crop up can be avoided completely just by giving your copywriter access to the client. And, you know, kind of they can double check the sitemap on that call. They can go through the types of words that they do like, they don't like, you know, kind of how they want to be perceived, the type of user personas that they really want to work with. And they can also explain exactly what to expect after the copywriting process is finished. For a lot of website owners, they've never worked with a copywriter before. And for a lot of digital agencies, they've never worked with a copywriter before. So it's brand new. And I think the best way of tackling something brand new is to get somebody with more experience in to show you how it should go and what it would look like afterwards once it's been successful. I think I'll agree with you there. Definitely cut out the middle person, give yourself plenty more time back on the old calendar and get the copywriter to interview the client directly. So now we have our wonderful, amazing copywriting, pretty much done and dusted. What's the best way to take copy and implement it into a website's design or straight onto the site, Riley?
So I'm not a designer. I don't design websites. And this seems a bit basic to say, but just copy and paste it. Please don't manually type out the content that the copywriter has spent many, many hours perfecting for the client, because this will just cause mistakes or grammatical errors to show up like completely by accident, where it could have absolutely been prevented if you just copied and pasted the text. But Abby, I think you'd have more experience when it comes to writing copy first and sending it over to an agency or getting the developer on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say, absolutely, copy and paste directly. Well, not directly is my point. So you want to remove all formatting. There will be formatting in a Google Doc, and just make sure that you are setting those H1s, H2s, H3s correctly. If you're putting it straight into the site itself. I will 100% agree with Variety. Don't just type out titles because it's quicker and easier. It's so easy to overlook capitalization. So if you have, kind of like all your words with capitals on, but then you have two or three titles that have like one capital letter at the very beginning of the sentence, so sentence case, it's going to be a little bit clunky. It's not going to look polished. That's kind of our jobs to worry about punctuation and, all of that very interesting stuff for us, but probably quite boring stuff for everybody else. I would say use the copy directly as it is. If you have a designer creating the design first, make sure that they are using the correct copy, the most up-to-date version of it. 100%. And that kind of takes care of the last minute changes as well. So for me, I'm a little bit of a hard head when it comes to last minute changes. Who knew? Once copy has been signed off of, it has been signed off of. Kind of as an agency owner, you don't want somebody coming back in, 2 months after you've finished website copywriting and the entire site is built out, but now they want to change, kind of four words across like 17 pages. It's just a big old pain in the butt, to be honest with you. So have those very clear boundaries of, okay, are you happy with the copy? Yep. Okay. If there are any further changes, we can show you how to do it, post launch, or we can do it for you on your monthly retainer or your support hours or something like that. But I tend to avoid, last minute changes as much as possible. Anything to add, Riley?
Yeah. I suppose from like this perspective of the agency owner, sometimes a client might have an edit that is super, super, super small. Like, it's just, can you please change this word to this? And then, well, I think most people can do that. They can change a word. But if the client wants bigger edits or has decided that actually this section I don't really like and I want to change it to this service instead, if you don't feel comfortable writing that to the same standards or you're worried about keywords being cut out, you can always email your copywriting team again. You might have to pay a small bit extra, but it's worth getting it right the first time and not sacrificing potential SEO juice there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what's the best way to maintain consistency across pages, especially if a client is providing content themselves? You know, kind of, they might provide you a homepage 1 week and then 7 weeks later you get a couple of more pages, and then a couple of weeks later you get a couple more pages. How can you as a web designer, a web developer, make sure that you have a consistent voice, a consistent tone, consistent punctuation across all the website's pages?
Checklists.
Yes, checklists. We love them.
We stand checklists. Do you know how many checklists we have? A lot.
Absolutely. So your checklist is your best friend. So you can have a brand voice checklist. So, you know, is this something that this client would say? Is it not? Is this service called the same thing across all pages? Which is super important if you have a new startup and they're still trying to name their services or something like that. And get another pair of eyes. You know, kind of, we in the Content Lab, we have the wonderful Mia, our in-house editor and proofreader. Getting another pair of eyes just for checking things like capitalization, you know, like that kind of stuff. You can very much go capitalization blind after a while, especially if it isn't, you know, in your natural wheelhouse to do, and run everything through a spell check, 110%. Okay, so we are coming to the end of the copywriting process. We have gone through briefing, researching, auditing, writing, revisions, submission. What are some red flags that you know of, Riley, that can indicate a copywriting project might go off track?
If the client doesn't show up to the call, like there's a few times where I've gone to have a call with the client and they don't show up, and that project has always gone poorly because they are slow to reply to emails, they don't send over enough information, or they leave poor feedback, like very vague feedback. Those are the warning signs, I think, that a project isn't going to go well. If you don't have that, I suppose, that intrigue from a client, that like, that they don't seem invested in the copy or the project itself, then that usually goes downhill quite quick.
Absolutely, yeah. I think either a complete lack of enthusiasm in their own project, or an over eagerness to over edit, we'll put it that way. So somebody that, you know, kind of is leaving a lot of feedback, not all of it is super helpful, but they want to change a lot of things without kind of having good reason to, you know, so they just want to rewrite everything. That will definitely make a copywriting project go off track. But yeah, they're few and far between, thankfully.
Few projects.
Yeah, usually if somebody is paying a professional copywriter, they're happy to hand it off and, you know, take it off their own to-do list. But, you know, if you are an agency owner out there listening to this and, you know, I have a couple of clients like that, you can always offer them kind of the done with you service. So, you know, kind of, they can come in, give the bare basics of what they'd like. The copywriting can come in on top, do a little bit of polishing to their work, and then the client can come in and put their own stamp on it again, and then, you know, hopefully that'll be it afterwards. So there are different ways of managing all of these types of clients to make sure that copy stays on track. And Riley, leaving wisdom,
How can agencies and designers make the process smoother for both their clients and the copywriting team?
I have three things. Please, when working with your copywriters, communicate clearly, send over all the information we need in a beautiful brief, and give us access to your clients so we can talk to them. I think those three things, if you give us those, we'll handle the rest. It'll go smooth. We need those, please.
Absolutely. I think if you're in a position to hire a copywriter in-house, or, you know, kind of want to, you know, hire another team to do it for you, whatever, trust them. Find a good good copywriting team or copywriter you can trust, and hand it over to them. That's their job, you know, which is easier said than done sometimes.
Yeah.
I love to end these sessions with a couple of short and sweet questions. Mm. Riley, what would be the biggest takeaway that you can share with our listeners about keeping copywriting projects on track?
To keep copywriting projects on track, I think one of the most important things, if you're doing it yourself, set yourself due dates, realistic due dates. And if you are working with a copywriting team, communicate with them to give you due dates of when to expect the homepage, when to expect the rest of the sitemap. And then in general, just communicate with them as like clearly as possible. Leave feedback as soon as you can when it's sent over.
I love it. And I guess my biggest takeaway from today is have a process and stick to it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Once you've figured out what works for you, stick to it. Don't let any client come in and overhaul your process, because once you've done this a few times, you know what works for you. Mm-hmm. And you know what works for your clients. And most of the time, this will be your client's first rodeo. So you're there to guide them. You're there to support them. And as part of that, they've got to follow your process so that you can deliver amazing work for them, yes, as you always do.
The customer is not always right, especially when it comes to your processes.
I love it. It's Riley's very salty today. It is a Friday.
I'm the appropriate amount of salt, thank you.
And to lighten the mood a little bit, Riley, what are you reading this week?
What am I reading this week? I am reading a collection of Stephen King's short stories. I wanted to reread them because the movie The Monkey came out, and I wanted to go see it, but I hadn't read that short story since I was younger, so I decided to reread his collection, and it's very good. Highly recommend good old Stephen King short stories.
I love it.
I can't remember what the book's called now. A Skeleton Crew. Yeah, Stephen King's
Skeleton. I love Skeleton Crew. Very good. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking. This week I am reading The Nesting by C.J. Cook. That is Cook with an E. It's very good so far. I have about a quarter of the way left. It is about it's kind of gothic, spooky, nature kind of fighting back against an architect building a house in a Norwegian forest.
That is very you.
Isn't it?
That is a very you book. That sounds great. We love a spooky boy.
It's very spooky, yeah. I'm really enjoying it so far. I've read a lot of CJ Cook's stuff.
Yeah, and I think always, I've heard you say their name before.
Yeah. She's my author of this year so far, maybe author of this quarter. I think I've read three of her books this quarter so far. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, just very easy to read, but incredibly well written. And this one has, like, a little bit of supernatural element. You know, it's good that. Fun.
You can hook me on a book if it's got a little supernatural element.
Yes. Yeah. Love it. Amazing. Okay. Well, thank you, lovely listeners. We will see you again soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on this latest episode of the Content Goodies podcast. Thank you to our sponsors, the Content Lab. If you enjoyed this program, please leave us a review. We love to get feedback. And as always, if you need help with any copywriting or content marketing needs, reach out to me at the Content Lab. You will find our contact details at the bottom of the podcast notes. It has been a pleasure. As always, look forward to seeing you on the next episode.